traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, equestrians. This is Scott Miller coming to you live from Sunshine Meadows in beautiful Delray Beach, Florida. Going to have a great show today on the how they get there, the 2024 Kentucky Derby. It's all about the Derby, this show is, and what we're going to be doing here in the future, all the updates that we're going to have. You'll be able to go to IENTV.org, and you will be able to go down to how they get there, and you can click on to Derby, Kentucky Derby Prep Races for 2024. And it has all the upcoming prep races for the Kentucky Derby, where they earn points to be qualified for the Derby this year. And there's a link there, and it will take you to all the races on that day, like tomorrow. We've got four races coming up tomorrow. They will all be live on IENTV.org. You'll be able to go to it. The post times are be on there. Takes you right to the track to watch, or you can click on to America's Day at the races, and we'll have them on there for you. And then we also have a link to each one of the racetracks there, so you got three different ways you can watch it however you want to. You just feel whatever's comfortable for you and everything, so that'll be good. But the 2024 Kentucky Derby is going to be unusual this year. And I'll tell you why. First of all, I really don't start following the Derby. Well, I do follow all the horses coming up to the Derby, but I really don't start following them until February. And the reason I do that is because there's a lot of races that are on the cards at different tracks that could be potentially, a tune-up or, getting a horse in the right direction for the Kentucky Derby. Sometimes they could be allowance races. Sometimes they could be, stake races. They could even be Derby point races is what they could be. So that's why I don't follow them until February, because now it's really serious. We've got some horses that have points already that they've come up, and it's kind of interesting to see what they do, here in the point system. I tell you, this is after the 12 points that we have here. On our list, as of today, we have Fierceness. It's a Todd Pletcher horse. He's got 30 points. He's got $1,045,000 in earnings. We have Locked, which is 19 points, which is another Todd Pletcher trained horse. He's right there. And then Timberlake by Brad Cox got 16. Liberal Arts has 13 from Robert Medina. West Saratoga for Larry Dimitri has 11. And Honor Marie for Whit Beckman has 10. And Out of the Conquer, Steve Masmussen also has 10. So, they've got a solid foundation laid for what they're going to be doing. This is the interesting part about that, is just getting your horse with some Derby points and some experience into racing. And a lot of these horses have come along real well. Like we've been talking about over the past few weeks, we're talking about weather. The weather has been, up and down. In fact, the Southwest Stakes that's going to be run tomorrow at Oaklawn Park, they had to move their date from the 27th to the 3rd, which is tomorrow, and that's really not going to hurt a horse, three or four days, over your regular run date. That's not going to hurt them. They're fit. They're ready to go. It's just a matter of tweaking them here and there. So now we got four Derby prep races tomorrow, and it's going to be interesting to see, what happens. This is going to be the true test right now of what kind of horse you have, and you're going to know. After this weekend, you are going to know if you're seriously going to be contestant for the 2024 Kentucky Derby. I tell you, there's a lot of headaches behind it. You know, like we were saying before about the weather and the trainer and the owner, you know, they're making some really hard decisions this weekend about the route they're going to take to their to the Derby. So it's going to be one of those weekends. We got the Santa Anita. We've got a race out there with Derby points that are involved. And the bad thing about this is that Bob Baffert, he's still out and about, you know, and he's got good horses and, you know, he's a good trainer, you know, really when you get down to it. He just had a lot of unfortunate bad advice, I would say, in his route to the Derby this year and his deal with Kentucky, Kentucky Racing Commission. Bob decided that since he can't run in the Derby this year, what he's going to do is he's going to point his horses all for the Preakness and for the Belmont. And his owners have got behind him and said, you know, we're not going to switch the horses over to another trainer. We're going to keep you as the trainer, and we're going to get on, you know, road to the Preakness and to the Belmont, which, you know, which is a good thing. You know, they're doing the right thing. But it's how they went about it, and that's what concerns me. You know, he went about it like, you know, well, we don't need Kentucky. He bucked the system is what he did. He had a positive test, and it led into this big ordeal for being suspended for 2 years and, you know, all these different things and all like that. So, you know, now it's like, well, I'm going to show you. I don't care whether I can come to Kentucky. My owner said they don't care about going to Kentucky, so we're going to stay out of Kentucky. We're not even going to push the issue anymore. We're done with Kentucky. So we'll go for the Preakness and for the Belmont. But the thing of it is it's kind of like he's saying to, you know, the horse industry, well, I guarantee you that for as long as I'm not in Kentucky, there's not going to be a Triple Crown winner because he's going to load up for the Preakness and the Belmont. That's what he's going to do. And there's a prime example. We have Derby points at Santa Anita Park tomorrow. The post time is at 5:15 Eastern Time, 2:15 Pacific Time. It's Robert B. Lewis. And this is a good race. It always produces a lot of good winners out of it, you know, down the road and so forth. It's a pretty good race. Well, just to let you know, Bob Baffert's got three horses in here. Now, these are all for Derby points. I don't know how they break them down, you know, if Bob wins, if they spread the points down to the ones below, or, you know, just how they do that. And I'm going to get into that, and that's going to take quite a while to figure that out with the racing, with the Derby point system. But anyhow, Bob's got three horses in there. He's got Wind Me Up, which he's a real good horse. He's quick out of the gate, that's for sure. It's a $200,000 1 mile Robert B. Lewis Stakes. It's a feather race at Santa Anita. And like I said, he's got Wind Me Up, and then he's got another one called Coach Prime, which that horse can really, he can flat run. He can flat run. And then he has Nyros in there. So he's got three of the nine horses in the race. And so you're going to find that very common throughout the rest of the racing season here up until the Derby, other than, you know, in Kentucky. So you'll see him show up in Hot Springs, New Orleans, you know, New York, you know, that type of thing, California, to see how they can get these horses, you know, into the Derby. But, you know, like I said, it's a lot of planning that goes into it for the trainers and for the owners. And what the trainers are trying to do now is to figure out what they have to do to get their horses through the spring and into the summer. And one of the unique things that they're looking at, and this weighs heavy in the plans that they're making, they could possibly have a horse for the Belmont Stakes this year. Now, the Belmont Stakes is going to be run in Saratoga because they're rebuilding Belmont Park. So this is a whole different ballgame here that they're looking at. What they've done is they've reduced the Belmont Stakes from a mile and a half down to a mile and a quarter. So this is good. You know, this is good for a lot of trainers because there's a lot of trainers that don't have horses that could go a mile and a quarter, but can make a mile and a half for the Belmont, but they can make the mile and a quarter for this year's Belmont. So now they're rethinking things. How are they going to do it? You know, which way are we going to go? And I'm telling you, it's going to be loaded. They got all the, they got 4 days of racing before the Belmont, Thursday, June 6th. They got the Belmont Gold Cup, the Astoria Stakes, the Jersey Girl, and the Tremont. That's on Thursday, June the 6th. Then on Friday, June the 7th, they got the New York Stakes, the Acorn, Just a Game, and the Intercontinental. And those are really good races. Those are good races. Then on June the 8th, you have the Belmont Stakes presented by Nyla Betts. They have the Metropolitan Handicap, the Resorts World Casino Manhattan, and the Manhattan, the Ogden Phipps, the Jaipur, the Woody Stevens, the True North, the Suburban, and the Poker Stakes races. So that's on Saturday. And then Sunday, they got the Commentator, they got Critical Isle, they got Kingston, they got Mount Vernon, the Mike Lee, and the Bowire. And let me tell you, those are all for New York breds, which is good. That's 4 days of intense racing. And what I like about it is a lot of these trainers are already up at Belmont training. Now that, they're going to be opening up early up there. They're going to go right on up to Saratoga and they're going to be training and they're going to be looking towards, you know, that weekend of racing is what they're doing. So, and then they, you know, they'll stay there and then, you know, literally, 4 weeks, 5 weeks later, Saratoga opens up for racing. So, you know, they might as well be there and get it all together and, you know, get a little early jump on the Saratoga meet, which is going to be, something, you know, to see. But this is all the things that these trainers are looking at now. And on the way to the Kentucky Derby, in the back of their mind, they've got New York on their mind. They're thinking about New York because what can we do, you know, to take advantage of getting that money, getting up there to Saratoga, start training, you know, and have a great summer. You know, there's a lot of good races at Saratoga. And I mean, there's just a lot of good things that happen at Saratoga in the summer. Kind of sets your 2025 racing season all up when you go to Saratoga because you got the 2-year-olds and you got the older horses and you know there's just so much there for them. But as far as the Derby's concerned, like I said, we've been talking about weather, racetrack conditions. We've had frozen tracks. We've had sub-zero weather. We had racing canceled. We had rain. We just had a lot of things that have happened to this point. Now, the horses are fit and they're ready to go. But by February, the 1st of February, all the cards are down on the table. You got to start hammering out your path to the Derby. You can't afford any setbacks from February on to the Derby. You just cannot afford any setbacks because those are crucial, and it can throw you in a whole different situation. You might be entered in one of the Derby prep races for points and you get a small field. But the weather's bad, and whether it's rainy, it's sloppy, it's whatever, and that slows you down. That takes you out of your rhythm. And it's very difficult on a horse, you know, that can't get out on a regular schedule, can't get a good track to train on, you know, a lot of issues. Most of the time, it comes in Arkansas. Arkansas can have some bad days there. They can have some cold weather. They can a lot of unusual things. You go down to the fairgrounds in New Orleans, and, you know, that's kind of dicey. It can be good. It can be bad. But for the most time in New Orleans in the wintertime, it's pretty good racing. You know, it's pretty good. You got a lot of good Derby prep races there. In fact, you know, you got like three that you can earn points out of. Same thing in Hot Springs. And then, you know, of course, then you have Florida. You got the prep races over at Tampa, and you got prep races there at Gulfstream. And usually the weather is pretty good here. You know, for the horses, they're consistent. There's just a lot of good things that could happen. Now, we've had a lot of cool weather down here, not compared to what they have up north. But our weather that we've had here, you know, has been in the 50s and 60s at nighttime, which makes it really good for training horses. You know, the heat's not beating them up in the day, and, you know, it gets a little cool at night, but they kind of like it. They start feeling their oats, as the old-timers say, is what they do. And so then you got we got coming up tomorrow the Holy Bull. Then we have the Fountain of Youth and the Florida Derby. We got the Sam Davis over at Tampa and the Tampa Bay Derby over there. So we've got five races here over the next few months that you can get Derby points in. And you got good weather, you know, most of the time here. Just a lot of things are good for training your horse and getting them ready to go up to Kentucky, you know, is what you do. And so then, you know, we're sitting here looking at the races that are coming up. Like tomorrow, Fierceness is the Towering Presence in the 8-horse Holy Bullfield. He's a lightly raced son of City Light, homebred by the Repole Stable, has not started since capping his 2023 campaign with a victory in the November 3rd Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Hall of Famer Todd Pletcher has kept Fierceness on a steady work pattern since the colt received a brief freshening at the trainer's Palm Beach Downs winter home. And that's part of what we have here. But, you know, so Todd is the master of bringing horses off of long layoffs. He's just really good at that. I have to kind of be proud of this. And I said, I'll tell you, a lot of it has to do with the training facility that he's at. That's a big to do where you're training at. It's like a private training center for him. He does real good. Brandon Mills, our general manager, he takes care of that like there's no tomorrow. You know, he's there pretty much 24/7 making sure that track's ready to go. You know, for Todd's horses over there. And Todd's got over 120 horses there this year. So it's really good to see, you know, him come out of that and to know the things about these horses. Now, there's a lot of the competitors that are here. They're either stabled at Gulfstream or over at Palmettos, which is Gulfstream's training facility up here in Boynton Beach. And so, you know, you kind of look at those things and see where they're at and what they're doing. And of course, I'm a big guy on weather conditions and staying with the flow. And it's pretty good here, you know, in South Florida. So, you know, we're going to see in the Holy Bull over there Saturday. Derby points are all up for grabs. It's race 12 on the card. Post time is 5:48. It's 1 mile and 1/16 on the dirt, so these horses are stepping up, getting closer to that mile and a quarter, that the Derby's run at, and see how they do. A lot to be told out of this race, and I tell you, when this race is over, we're going to know how many's going to run in the Florida Derby, you know, a month from now. We're going to see, you know, how many will be in there. We have Hades, H-A-D-E-S, Hades. He's a Florida bred. It's Joe Orsino's horse, a nice horse. He's breaking out of the one post. We got an Indiana bred in here for Jane Sabelli. It's a nice horse, Inglewood, nice horse. And I tell you what, Jane Sabelli's been known to pull an upset or two here and there. If she gets her mind on something, she'll do it. And this is an Indiana bred, which is very unusual. You know, you don't see too many Indiana breds. And lo and behold, here in the Holy Bull, we got an Indiana bred and we got an Iowa bred. Francisco D'Angelo's got no more time. He's an Iowa bred. Let's see, who else we got? We got Christoph Clement. He's got Otello in there, which I think this horse needs a longer distance. I think he's more of a mile and a quarter, mile and a half horse. We got Dancing Groom by with Antonio Sano. We got No More Time with Francisco D'Angelo, an Iowa bred. We got Domestic Product for Chad Brown, Kentucky bred. And then we got Fierceness for Todd Fletcher. But she's just overwhelmingly the most talent in this race. And then Eddie Owens has C Streak in there. But this is going to be a real interesting race. It's going to be, how should I say? I don't think that all the experts say, now this is just me, and certainly I'm not an expert. It's just my own opinion on this. I think Fierceness is ready for this race. And it's not because he's at our Palm Beach Downs farm. It's because it's Todd Fletcher. I think he's ready for this race. But this is the kind of race that you can get a big upset in. And these horses, this might be their Kentucky Derby tomorrow. There's quite every one of these horses in there, I think, is their Kentucky Derby tomorrow. I really do. If they win this race, then they're going straight to the Kentucky Derby. They might run in the Florida Derby, but I think tomorrow's going to be a real big test, you know, for these horses and for their trainers and their owners and their jockeys. It's going to be interesting to see. The weight distribution in this race is from 118 to 122. And it's going to be to 124, which is Fierceness. He's breaking out of the seventh post. And Todd's always had good luck down here with these horses. And, you know, when you go to the Derby, you're looking at 126 pounds. So this is going to be a good test for Fierceness. He's got that extra weight that he'll be carrying. Hayes has got 118. The next, Otello's got 122. And then the rest are all 118, with the exception of Fierceness, and he's 124. So he's going to get a little bit of test tomorrow. It's going to be 124 pounds for him, close to the Derby weight, and he hadn't run since last November. So we're going to see what happens with that. Then, like I said, back here a few weeks ago on the 27th, the February 3rd card was going to have the Southwest Stakes in Oakland Park. And this is all carrying Derby points. It's $800,000 Southwest Stakes at Oakland. A second of four prep races on the road to the Kentucky Derby tomorrow. The point schedule is 20, 10, 6, 4, and 2 to the top five finishers. And like I said, they had to move that from the 27th to the 3rd, which is not really, a big deal, for them. Then they have $1.25 million Rebel Stakes, which is coming. And then the Arkansas Derby. So they got three races there that those guys don't even have to leave Hot Springs to get their Derby points to qualify, you know, if they win for the Derby. Southwest Stakes, it's a real good test of horses. I'm telling you, it's a mile and a 16th for 3-year-olds on the dirt. They got a 12-horse field. And the most anybody's carrying in this race, unlike the Holy Bull at Gulfstream Park, is 118 pounds, or 119 pounds, sorry about that. And all of a sudden, what do we see here in Hot Springs? Bob Baffert. Bob Baffert shows up. So he's going to have his hand in that Derby one way or another. If he wins this race and then a horse out of this race goes on to win the Kentucky Derby, Bob said, well, I beat the Derby winner. you know, so he'll go all the way across the country, you know, to be running in these races and all. So, but we got the usual trainers in there. Asmussen's got a couple in there, which he should do good with. You know, I was thinking just the other day, you got Asmussen sitting here, you know, with a couple of horses sitting here. Dwayne Lucas has got a horse, just steel. That's like steel, the iron. And this horse could be an iron horse. He's a nice horse. And he just might steal everything tomorrow there, you know, in Hot Springs. It's a good race. Good, you know, like I said, got Asmussen, got, you know, Dwayne Lucas in it, Brad Cox is in it, Kenny McPeak. A lot of good horse people in here. So this is going to be, like I said, the true test. And out of this 12 horse field, you might see five of them move on to the next Derby points. And the great thing about Oakland, you don't have to leave Oakland to get more Derby points. You got three races in a row that you can get qualifying points for. And hopefully you can get enough to do that, because at this stage in the game, you don't have to want to be chasing Derby points at different tracks that you're training at and all. So that's going to be interesting. And then on the third, it's Santa Anita. They got the Robert B. Lewis. It's a good race. It's a good stepping stone. I always like to see this race, the horses out of this race, go on to the Preakness, you know, and see what they can do there, in which I know they're going to have at least two out of here go on to the Preakness from this race. Bob Baffert's got one in here, Wind Me Up, carrying 120 pounds. And then he's got another one in there. Let's see what he got. Coach Prime and Nyros, they're in there, and they're each carrying 120 pounds. So three of the nine horses Baffert has. So it's going to be interesting to see where they go from here and you know, what they do, how they do it. And also, four race weekend. You can see all of them on IENTV.org. The post time, so be on there. Takes you right to them, one click, and to IENTV.org, and then you can jump around the channel there and see what all you got. And, you know, they're all live and straight from the track. It's with their commentators and not me, which is good. Takes the pressure off of me. And also, it's going to see what happens. Now, this is the one that I follow. I follow this religiously. It's Byron King's Derby Dozen, presented by Spendthrift. They give the top 10 or 12 horses here, and the top 10 are usually the ones to stick with in there. At the top of the list, they have Fierceness. Owner and trainer is Todd Pletcher and Repo Stable. This is a really nice horse. Hasn't done a lot, but when he did go to race, he was doing good. The 2023 Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner and newly crowned champion, two-year-old male of the year for 2023, leads a field of eight in the February 3rd Holy Bull Stakes at Gulfstream Park. Hall of Famer Todd Pletcher, who trains Fierceness for the Repo Stable, appreciates the spacing of the Holy Bull before the major, before the Kentucky Derby. He just likes it. He preps in late March and early April. If he runs well on the Holy Bull at Gulfstream Park, the March 30th Florida Derby would be enticing for the final prep race before the run for the Roses. Pivoting to a race like that, April 6th, Bluegrass Stakes. Now, see, he's got two options there. He could go ahead and run tomorrow. If he runs good, then they're going to keep him right there at Palm Beach Downs, and then they'll bring him back, you know, and run him in the Florida Derby. So, you know, that's March 30th. So the spacing between the Holy Bull, the Florida Derby, and a Kentucky Derby fits right into his pattern. He did that with Always Dreaming and Super Saver when they won the Derby. So he's doing good with it. So now the second horse in the Derby dozen is a Todd Fletcher horse also. Eclipse Thoroughbred Partners in Walmack Farm and Todd Fletcher are the owners and trainers. This horse is a surprising horse, locked as he's named. He's really a tough horse. It's another Todd Fletcher trainee, last year's Breeders' Cup Futurity winner, and Breeders' Cup juvenile finished third in the BC juvenile. So he got beat out by his stablemate, but he finished third. Is scheduled to run a week later than Fierceness in Sam F. Davis over at Tampa Bay. And that's a great stepping stone, too. Fletcher's prior Derby winner, Super Saver, and Always Dreaming, used that as a stepping stone to winning the Derby. Made their first starts as three-year-olds at Tampa. Super Saver ran third in the Tampa Bay Derby before a second place finish in the Arkansas Derby at Oaklawn. And Always Dreaming kicked off his year with a maiden triumph win at Tampa before a follow-up wins in an allowance race, optional claim on at Gulfstream Park. And then he won the Florida Derby. So they have options here. And that's what I like about it. You know, you get all these different options for these horses and, you know, at the track, and you want to keep them consistent and, you know, keep them in a routine. And by staying here, like in Florida, and like in Arkansas, you stay in the same routine, same track, and you know what you're dealing with every day, and those horses get used to it. And they're not jumping all around, like, say, from here to New York to Maryland to California and, you know, what have you. They're all staying right at home. Dornich, this is a real nice horse, I tell you. Danny Gargan trains this horse. He's the winner of two of four starts, and is pointed to later run return than the top two aimed at the March 4th or 2nd Fountain of Youth at Gulfstream. So you see, there's races that he can run down here, and he can not have to go against the big top horses. You know, but still, yeah, you know, you're getting Derby points and making money with a horse. And they'll be going in the Fountain of Youth, which is March 2nd. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. This is the full brother to the Derby winner, Madge, the 2023 Derby winner. He's the full brother to Madge. So we know he can get the distance. He should be able to. He recorded his second workout of the winter at Palmetto's Training Center on January 30th with a half-mile time in 49-1, which, you know, that's pretty good. So now these guys are kind of bringing them along slowly. You know, they're not beating them up. You know, they're getting, you know, good works out of them at the different training facilities. They're getting them in good competition to give, you know, get their Derby points and everything. And like I said, it's all a plan. When you start planning everything, you want everything to go just right. You know, you don't need any bad days like they had, before at Hot Springs, where it's snow and rain and ice and everything. But they kind of gotten over that, you know, there. And down here with Danny Gargan, Palmetto's 6 miles from Palm Beach Downs, you know. So we see all these people here, and we hear the talk that's going on, around town about who's going where and what and when. And so that's going to be an interesting horse there, to keep an eye on. Now, this Derby dozen right here that we have, I would say the winner is going to come out of this announcement of this Derby dozen. And I think that's what's going to happen. There's a lot of things that could happen down the road with other prepresses in New Orleans and in Hot Springs, you know, in Kentucky and California and all, but I think this is one of the winners that's going to be right out of here. This horse ran here not too long ago. I tell you, he had an initial stakes victory, was in the Gunrunner Stakes at the Fairgrounds. I tell you, he's a good looking horse. He can run. He can flat out run. His name's Track Phantom. I like that Steve Asmussen has this horse. Steve knows how to get him ready, and he's ready to roll with him. I tell you, the thing of it is you got to figure out where you're going to go with him. And they're talking about his speed rating was 93 equibase speed figure, was the lowest winning rating in a Vermont since Mr. Bowling and in 2012. So, you know, but I, like I said, I don't put a lot into speed ratings. I don't put a lot to anything. All I put in and all I think about is what that horse did on that day. That horse was the best horse of that day. There's no doubt about it because he won. And same with all these other horses. I don't care what you're, they don't pay you for a high speed rating. That's for sure. They pay you for who gets to the wire first. And that's what I look at. This horse knows how to get to the wire. He ran against a good field, you know, and that's what he did, what it took to win. Could he do more? We don't know. We don't know until the next time he runs, and we'll see what happens, you know. I tell you, I like him. I like the trainer, Track Phantom. He's a quality road, so we know he can get the distance. He's by an inch of Mischief Mare, which is really good, you know, so I like that. And that's Steve Asmussen and Track Phantom. Now, the fifth horse in our Derby dozen is Sierra Leone. Susan Magner, Michael Tabor, Derek Smith, Westberg, and Rocket Ship Racing, and Peter Brandt and Chad Brown is the trainer. Now, let me tell you something. You got some heavy-duty hitters right there in the horse business. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. From the groom and the hot walker to Chad Brown, the trainer, to the owners, they're unbelievable people. They are good people. This pedigree, it looks like he might be able to get it. He was a $2.3 million a yearling buy when they bought him. Let me tell you, it's going to be good. It's going to be a good horse. The thing that I liked about him, that he was beaten in the final furlongs of the Remsen. It was a long, sustained rally from last. May have left him in a bit of a fatigued state, I would say. And what I liked about it, it was a long, sustained try to catch him. And I think that's going to help him a lot in the Derby, because the Derby, you know, it's mile and a quarter, there's 20 horses, there's all kinds of crazy things that can happen. But this horse is already experienced, as some of the old timers would say, a dogfight, you know, from the get-go. And that's what I like about this horse. From the get-go, this horse is always thinking, move forward, you know, quick and fast as he can. And so it's going to be interesting to see what his next thing will be. And it will be February 17th. It's going to be the Risen Star Stakes at the Fairgrounds. And it's going to be his first attempt at two turns. See, that's another thing that, you know, we have really talked a lot about. You know, these horses are used to going to one-turn miles or, you know, just a one-turn race. Now they're up into the big time, and they got to go two turns. It's a whole different ball game, man. It's two races for them now, from the gate to the milepole and from the milepole to the wire and everything. So we'll see how well he adjusts to it, you know. But, again, he's a nice horse. The fatigue might have got to him at the mile and an eighth, but we're just going to see what goes on with him. There's Forever Young. This horse is a Japanese horse. I'm telling you, these guys are right on top of it. I think that if you're ever going to pick a long shot, Forever Young is going to be the horse that you're going to have to beat. I think he's going to be a tough one. The Japanese are getting close. They've got a lot of time and a lot of money and a lot of effort into it. And I've seen a lot of their people training over here and working here in the States and, you know, educating themselves. So this could be interesting. He's got his Japanese jockey on him, and Forever Young, I think, will be, and could be, the upset of the day here. Forever Young. Then we have Timberlake, which is owned by Sienna Farm and One Star. Brad Cox train. This horse, he's bred like there's no tomorrow. He's into mischief by looking at Lucky. And that horse, he got the bloodline to do it. If you can't do it with that bloodline, then you need to go to pony rides at the fair. That's going to be a tough one. He won the Champagne Stakes, which is one turn mile. It was in the slot. He had more questions to answer than that other leading Derby competitors with two turns experience. But this is a talent that's obvious. Besides the Champagne, he also ran a second in the 7 furlong Hopeful Stakes and fourth in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. So this horse has been there and done that. You know, it's just going to be interesting about the two turns, you know, and the weather and everything. He's gone through some real weather issues there and everything. So it was interesting to see, you know, what he'll do. You know, I tell you, again, you come up, and you know that laying out there in a starting gate somewhere, there's another rich strike somewhere that's laying there to come out. This Honor Marie by Whit Beckman, Honor Code, Dame Marie by Smart Strike. I tell you, again, you don't know. You know, you think, well, why is he in here? He brings a nice record into the three-year-old season. Having won 2 of 3 starts, including the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes in the fall at Churchill Downs. Now, see, he's got a race and a win over the track at Churchill, so that gives him a little bit of an advantage, you know, schooling-wise. When he gets back there, he's going to know what it's going to be like, you know, to be at Churchill. I tell you, I think he's going to go good. He might be a mile horse. We know he's 7 furlongs for sure. That's for sure. Remington Springboard Mile Stakes late last year and is entered in Saturday Southwest Stakes, the February 17th Risen Star Stakes, is this 3-year-old's next intended start. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what he does with that. It looks like they're searching for a spot for him and can't find it, what it looks like, because the races that he had, it didn't really tell him anything. You know, right now they should be thinking about a mile and a quarter, not a mile and an eighth or two turns. You know, that's what they should be thinking about now. Now, I tell you, this is a hot horse everybody likes. It's called Catching Freedom. This is a nice horse. He's trained by Brad Cox. This is... it's going to be interesting to see what he does. It's going to be real interesting to see if he can get the ground, if he can get some good races on it. You know, you're looking at between now and the Derby, you're looking at just, you know, 2 more races for your horse. That's all you got to work with. You got 2 races to work with. And, you know, if everybody's jumping around trying to get Derby points here and there, oh boy, that could be tough, because you could be running literally in the next 2 races. You could be running in 4 horse fields, and you know, if you got a full field like that, you're going to get some banging around, and you're going to get some stuff that you just don't know what's going to happen, you know, to you. And Now we got Steve Ashmussen's got another horse in there. It's called Hall of Fame. Steve is a great trainer, and I tell you what, if anybody deserves to win a Derby, it's Steve Ashmussen. That guy works hard. His family, he grew up in the business. He's got family that are jockeys. He's got family that are trainers, breeders, horse transporters, hot walkers, grooms. Everybody gets into it with Ashmussen and, you know, Barn. And I would really like to see him win the Derby this year. That's Hall of Fame that he has. And I think that Steve's got him in the right spot. You're bringing him along. They're not going to push him or abuse him. And he's going to be right there. He's going to be solid. That's for sure this year. A two-year-old turned maiden race proved a good learning experience for this $1.4 million yearling purchase, who rode from just off the pace in the January 20th mile and 16th race at the fairgrounds in his second career start. After some initial reluctance to advance inside of the leader, who was setting a hot pace, Hall of Fame took over and shot away by a 10 1/4 win. The time was slow, but it was a good education. It was a good education. You know, so that's what I hope to see, you know, with this horse. The horse was smart enough to not, you know, spook. He was smart enough to keep on going. And when you get a horse that does that on his own, you know, then you're talking business there. And like I said, I think Steve has got this horse right and ready to go. He'll run one, maybe two more times before the Derby. And, you know, that'll be his litmus test for, you know, getting to the Derby. Then he'll be in. So it's going to be interesting to see. The Risen Star is his next race out there in Hot Springs. And see, again, all these trainers have pooled up because all the racetracks got smart about this Derby point system. They said, well, you know, if we get a series of races, you know, two or three races for them to run in, you know, and get points, then we're going to keep those horses here. And the trainers like it because they don't have to go running all over creation, you know, to get Derby points. And so, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens here with them. And Todd Pletcher's got a third one here in the top in the Derby dozen. It's Barn Noble is the name of the horse. Unbelievable horse. Deciding on the final spot in the Derby dozen is always a challenge for our guy here. It's you know, he's good about it, but it's a troubling thing. It always shows a challenge with his horses, such as Conquest Warrior, Knight's Bridge, and Speakeasy, among those considered. But Born Noble clings to the final spot. He impressed in his lone start December 30 at Gulfstream, running 7 furlongs in 1:24 and 4:02. Despite drifting towards the down the lane, Pletcher gave Fierceness his fastest work before Saturday's Holy Bull, 5 furlongs of Palm Beach Downs. Then January 20th, he put the champion in company with Barn Noble. Barn Noble stayed competitive while appearing second best. The three-year-olds run in a first-level allowance optional claimer over one-turn mile Saturday at Gulfstream, and goes as a 6-3. So see, that's showing you that a lot of these trainers, they've got all these races planned out for their horses. And like I said before, and we talked about last week, is on the undercard. There's a lot of races on the undercard that can really, you know, be good for you. Like the Swale Stakes. You know, you got the Fountain of Youth. And then you got the Swale Stakes that day. Swale Stakes, 7 furlongs, great race. It was named after the horse Swale that Woody Stevens trained. And, You know, there's just so many races that these trainers have to look at. But you know, it's the Derby points thing. You got to start piling up them Derby points. And so we're to a point now that after this Saturday, if you don't have quite a few Derby points after Saturday, then your chances of going to the Derby are going to be slim to none. They'll be slim to none because let's say if Fierceness gets up there and wins another 10 points, he's got 40 points in, and it's going to be hard to catch that. It's going to be hard to catch that. You know, because the next one down on the list for Derby points is Locked, a barnmate of Fierceness. So we know that horse, they're going to try to catch him with that horse, and they could. You know, so that's going to be an interesting situation for these trainers. And I'm telling you, after Saturday, you're gonna see a lot of midnight oil being burned Saturday and Sunday, going into Monday, and to see how their horses came out of the races Saturday, you know, that type of thing. And then the owners and the trainers are going to get together and say, okay, this is our final drive. You know, it's now or never. You know, and that's what you're going to be planning to do. And I tell you, it's a tough situation to be in. That's for sure. You know, it's going to come down to, who gets lucky that day, you know, as they say. There's one thing that we got to remember coming into all these Derby point races. With Churchill Downs Incorporated continue to ban Bob Baffert from racing at its tracks for his horses from earning Derby points and qualifying points, none of the top three-year-olds, such as Moot Niles, are in the Derby dozen. Though they are two of the top three-year-olds in the country, a logical target is May 18th Preakness for Bob Baffert, who won last year's Pimlico race with National Treasure. See, these are the things that we really start to look at when we get out here with all these horses. You know, Baffert's going to play into somewhere along the line with all these horses. He's pointing for the Preakness, which is going to be different, you know. It's going to be different for him. But Bob, like I said, Bob's a good trainer. He's one of those kind of guys that, you know, you're going to argue and fight, you know, about everything. And I tell you, one of the toughest things for a horseman in the horse business is to be honest and be honest with himself. That's the main thing. Is you got to be honest with yourself and honest with your owner, because that's what it's all about, is that honesty. And you know, sure, you know, I've been around, and I'm telling you, it's a tough road to go. And you always have that Derby dream. And in 82, when we had Alabama in the Kentucky Derby, the whole 3 months before the Derby, it was TV cameras, news reporters, it was everything. You know, it was all that and then some. And then after we ran, I think it was 11th in the Derby there. There wasn't a news reporter the next day. It was the highest of highs and lowest of lows. You know, and that's just the way the business is. Some people have a hard time dealing with it, you know, and in Bob's case, you know, the horse tested positive. Instead of saying, you know, hey, let's figure out what happened. Let's see what, you know, what this is all about. Let's see what this is all about. And he kept fighting and fighting and fighting. And then it got to the point to where, you know, if you read on your license, when you take your test for a trainer, the ultimate responsibility of the welfare is the trainer. He has care, custody, and control of the horses. He's got care, custody, and control of the grooms, the hot walkers, the cat in the barn. He's got care, custody, and control of the owners. And it's up to him to make this happen. And when the horse tested positive, and they said, well, you know, it could have been an ointment, it could have been this, it could have been that. Bob would just said, okay, you know, sorry about my luck, you know, I'll try not to do it again. And then investigate it, find out what it was, and then go from there. But no, he spent 2 years without running in the Derby because he was trying to prove a point. Well, you know, this is the sad part about it. Yes, Bob's won a Triple Crown. He's won a Derby quite a few times. He's won a lot of things. But there's one thing that he can't get rid of. There's going to be an asterisk by his name in the Derby. And that asterisk is going to tell exactly what happened and what he did. And he'll never be able to shake that. He'll never be able to shake that, that's for sure. But like I said, he's a good trainer. He just needs to get it together. And I really respect his owners for having, you know, staying behind him in the races and not transferring the horses over to another trainer like he did the last couple of years. I think the owners really did good by it. And, you know, with Bob, he's a good guy. Him and Jill, they're good people, good horsemen. You know, all the way around good people. You know, but the thing of it is, he got caught. And the thing is, when you get caught, it's tough to deal with. You know, and it's harder to, you just got to suck it up and say, okay, here we go. This is what we're going to do. With it. But we got some good races coming up here. Like I said, coming up here Saturday, we got some real good races. I mean, real, real good races. And they're going to be all on TV, IENTV.org. I'll have them there. You have the link right to them. You can watch them live. With that, we got the Southwest Stakes. We got 20 points is for first place there. We got the Robert B. Lewis, which is out in Santa Anita. They got 20 points up for grab. But like I said, Bob Baffert's got three horses in that race, and he'll probably knock those points out, not be able to use. Then we got the Holy Bull, which is 20 points. That's at Gulfstream Park. And then we have the Withers Stakes, which is 20 points at Aqueduct. So, you know, we got a lot of points coming up. And then we got the Sam Davis on February the 10th, which is a week from Saturday, with 20 points up for grabs. We got the Risen Star on the 17th. It's got 50 points up for grabs. We got the Hyacinth in Japan, 30 points up for grabs. Then we have the Sunland Park Derby February 18th, yeah, the 20 points up for grabs. Then we're back again in the Rebel Stakes in Hot Springs, 50 points up for the Rebel Stakes. You know, then we have the Patent Stakes is in Europe. That's March 1st, 20 points there. Then we're back at Gulfstream for Fountain of Youth, 20 points there. Then back out to Santa Anita for San Felipe, 50 points. The Gotham Stakes will be at Aqueduct for 50 points on March 2nd. Then the Tampa Bay Derby, 50 points on March 9th. The Condition Stakes in Europe, March 13th, 20 points. Let's see here. The Louisiana Derby will be March 23rd for 100 points. The Jeff Ruby Stakes, March 23rd for 100 points. UAE Derby is on March 30th, 100 points. Arkansas Derby, 100 points. Florida Derby, 100 points. The Cardinal Condition Stakes in Europe, 30 points. Santa Anita Derby, 100 points. The Bluegrass, 100 points. The Wood Memorial, 100 points. And the Lexington Stakes, 20 points. So, you know, the thing of it is, and like we've always been saying here, the tracks got smart. They want to keep those good trainers there all the time, all the time. Get those races in the right spots for them, right? So you see how they go up, they go from 20 to 30 to 50 to 100. And then you're on the road to go. And also, that's going to be interesting to see over this weekend especially. But, you know, like I said, what I was just trying to say today is about everything is that you take your horses and you get them ready, you know, from the fall, from the summer to the fall. You know, you get them ready, get them conditioned, get them educated, school, see what kind of horse you got, teach them how to recover from races so that they can, you know, make a good showing and, you know, do all those good things that you want them to do. And then, you know, just kind of roll the dice and see where you go. And so now that they're here at, you know, that crucial point, this will be a heavy weekend for the trainers and the owners. They're going to have to decide where they go. And the other thing is, too, is you're going to be talking to your jockey. And you're going to say, hey, well, what do you think? Should we go to the Derby, you know, with this horse? And then that's when the jocks have really got to make their mind up of who they're going to ride in the Derby. So, you know, tune in this weekend. Watch the four races. All the other things we got on IENTV.org. Have a great weekend, horsemen. Get your food ready. Get your party time going on. And watch the how they get there, the 2024 Kentucky Derby. Tune in next Friday for all the results. And we'll see if I was right or wrong.